Sloane's life has become a prison of her own making. Each morning begins with unwanted intimacy from her boyfriend Asa, a volatile drug dealer whose designer clothes and Mediterranean vacation photos mask his dangerous nature. Their sprawling beachfront home functions as a perpetual party house, filled with strangers passed out in bathtubs and lines of cocaine on glass tables. Yet Sloane remains, mechanically repeating her mantra, "One more year before I'm free." Why does she stay? Asa is funding specialized medical care for her disabled brother Stephen. With her mother lost to addiction, one twin brother dead from a seizure at 19, and Stephen requiring round-the-clock care, Sloane feels trapped. She works part-time at a boutique, hiding cash tips in a hollow book, desperate to accumulate enough to escape with her brother. "I throw up after we have sex sometimes," she later confesses. "I pray every night that you won't touch me. I've learned to leave my body when it happens." These aren't the words of someone in love. They're the raw confessions of someone in survival mode. Carter, Luke, works undercover with partner Dalton to gather evidence against Asa Jackson's campus drug ring. His operation falters when he meets Sloane in Spanish class, creating an unexpected complication. Their connection forms during a group exercise where they exchange playful, nonsensical sentences. "Walrus tusks cloud my vision like chocolate pudding," and "one-legged tiger sharks are better for you than vegetables," creating a private language that becomes their sanctuary. These exchanges gradually deepen into meaningful conversations that challenge Luke's undercover identity. Luke struggles with his conflicting roles. "I've never let a girl get to me like this, especially one I'm not even dating." His growing attachment to Sloane compromises his mission focus, creating a vulnerability that Asa eventually exploits. Luke faces an impossible choice between helping Sloane and fulfilling his duty to stop a drug operation affecting countless others, a moral dilemma that becomes his constant burden. Asa Jackson exemplifies trauma creating monsters. His first-person narration reveals a mind warped by childhood abuse. His father's lesson, "If it doesn't benefit you, it shouldn't fucking matter to you," created a man without genuine empathy. What makes Asa terrifying is his self-awareness without remorse. He deliberately tampers with Sloane's birth control, monitors her movements, and isolates her. "What attracts me most to Sloane is her innocence," he admits. "I like knowing I'm her first and only lover." His drug dealing reflects his worldview. He categorizes people like substances. Sloane is heroin, something you'd happily use every day. John is meth. Dalton is cocaine. This dehumanizing perspective enables his callous treatment of others. When Asa encounters his father at a casino, we glimpse his pathology's source. After attacking the man who failed to recognize him, Asa breaks down, punching the dashboard until it cracks, crying uncontrollably. We see the wounded child beneath the monster, though understanding his origin doesn't excuse his behavior. The tension between Sloane, Luke, and Asa intensifies as their lives become increasingly entangled. When Luke and Sloane share lunch, Asa tracks her location via GPS. Their meaningful glances at the engagement party fuel his suspicions, pushing toward inevitable confrontation. Power dynamics constantly shift between them. Asa exercises financial control over Sloane and leverages his position as a drug dealer over Luke. Sloane manipulates Asa using her understanding of his psychology while transferring her emotional trust to Luke. Luke balances his duty as an officer with his commitment to Sloane's safety. Their interactions overflow with double meanings. At the engagement party, Luke's toast about how love finds you in the forgiveness at the tail end of a fight secretly speaks to his connection with Sloane. The triangle fractures when Asa forces Sloane to admit her true feelings. "I love Luke. I hate you." This brutal honesty triggers Asa's final descent into violence, setting up the climactic confrontation that will determine all their fates. Throughout the darkness, Luke and Sloane develop a unique language. Their exchange of nonsensical sentences becomes more than a game. It's a lifeline connecting them across dangerous circumstances. These whimsical exchanges evolve into an elaborate code, allowing them to express deep emotions through seemingly random phrases. This private language lets them communicate authentically in a world where both must constantly pretend, creating unexpected joy amid their grim reality. It represents the possibility of a relationship based on mutual understanding rather than control. The contrast between communication styles reveals character. Asa demands declarations of love and obedience, while Luke asks questions and truly listens, creating dialogue rather than demanding monologue. When Stephen offers Luke a blank paper and pen, something unprecedented, it symbolizes the authentic connections Luke forms. Their private language becomes a form of resistance, proving true connection can flourish even in hostile environments. As the story climaxes, each character faces necessary sacrifices. Sloane must risk everything to escape Asa's control, while Luke potentially jeopardizes his career to protect her. The most powerful sacrifice comes when Luke puts his gun to Sloane's head in a desperate gambit, using her as a bargaining chip, knowing Asa would never want her dead. This moment demands absolute trust between them. Redemption comes at a high cost. Luke is shot twice before Asa is subdued. Sloane must confront the possibility her pregnancy resulted from Asa tampering with her birth control. Even in victory, there are no clean endings. 7 months after Asa's death, Luke and Sloane visit his funeral as the only attendees. There, Sloane offers complex forgiveness. "Every child deserves love. I'm sorry you were never loved. For that, I forgive you. We both do." The "we" includes their son Dalton, who might biologically be Asa's. Their unopened paternity test symbolizes their choice to define family through love rather than biology. When Luke finally discards it while Sloane watches with tears and a smile, they affirm what truly matters. This is their family now. Too Late confronts the darkest aspects of human experience while nurturing seeds of hope. It explores not just trauma, but how we rebuild and reclaim our lives afterward. Sloane's journey from victim to survivor culminates when she confronts Asa, breaking his psychological hold. Her cookbook project embodies this transformation, converting recipes learned during her abusive relationship into a resource for domestic violence victims. She transforms pain into purpose. It feels like revenge knowing his recipes will help fund support for women who've suffered at the hands of men like him. Luke's healing follows a different path. As an undercover officer accustomed to compartmentalizing, he learns to integrate professional duty with personal ethics. By discarding the paternity test, he defines fatherhood through love rather than biology, perhaps the story's most profound healing act. Too Late suggests healing isn't about erasing trauma, but integrating it into a new narrative, where we're defined not by what happened to us, but by how we choose to move forward.